at least two different urges this morning just to tell you I loved you. Man. You look across the crowd and it's just in my heart, I guess I can say. It's just in my heart, I love you. I see you walk across the building or sit in your seat or speak a word or smile a smile. And my heart rejoices. I don't know how to explain all that, but it sure does a pastor's heart good to see people at the house of the Lord. And if you will, turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We're just going to try to go down through some of these verses in Philippians chapter 2 and see if the Lord will help us. It's been a blessing to me. Which every time I read the Bible, well, I shouldn't say that. I guess about every time I read the Bible, it's a real blessing. Sometimes I read it and it's not a blessing. And when you ain't right, I can promise you that. Maybe it is in disguise, but it doesn't seem to be. I don't want to say a whole lot about this, but some of the things of God ain't so much, don't seem like a blessing. When it is, it don't seem like it is. And if you'll look at that baby over there in Ezekiel chapter 16, it sure didn't seem like God was blessing that baby a whole lot, did it? Didn't seem like God was being real good to that baby laying out there. And mama didn't want it. Daddy didn't want it. They didn't even cut the umbilical cord off of it. It still had his mama's cord hanging on to it. They cut it loose from mama, but that baby had that umbilical cord. And they took it in that bloody mess, all that afterbirth, and threw it out there in that field for the loathing of thy person. Nobody cared for that baby. But you know what God said about that baby? He said, thy time was a time of love. God said, I was loving on you and you didn't even know it. You laying out there in that open field for all the wild beasts to come and smell that blood and just come devour you, to tear you apart. And that's where we're at in this old world, you hear? I mean, son, the devil in this old world just out there to tear us apart. And I'm telling you, sometimes it seems a little rough on us. Sometimes life don't seem to be so smooth. And it seems like, man, this sure is. God said, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a time of love. Amen. Boy, I tell you what. I seen myself one day laying out there in that open field. Yeah. Until you see yourself laying out there in that open field like that baby in Ezekiel chapter 16, you'll never know that time of love. Amen. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, you need to see yourself out there. Go over and read Ezekiel chapter 16 and look at that baby laying out there in that field. Didn't have a mama to put no clothes on it. Didn't swaddle it. Didn't clean it, didn't do anything, just took that baby out of her womb and threw it out there in the open field to die. God said, you know what I was doing? I was loving you right there. It's good. It's good. Need to see yourself over in Ezekiel 16. Boy, I saw myself there. Amen. Once I got saved, now I've read it and I look and go, boy, that was me. I mean, that just too many comparisons there. Hell. But it didn't seem like it, did it? It didn't seem like that was a very good time. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a terrible childhood. What a terrible childhood. I wouldn't have had it any other way. Wouldn't have had it any other way, huh? But Philippians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. And we'll read right on down. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Pretty good, ain't it? It's pretty good instruction, just the Bible. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a serpent and was a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. They emphasize that because the death of the cross is quite different than any other death. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him. Is this not one of your favorite passages in the entire Bible? I mean, man, I don't care who you are. It just seemed like this would be a favorite. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherein, my beloved, as ye have always not obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. To will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Zach, if you will, pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We pray, dear Lord, that you touch our pastor as he preaches. Dear God, give him the things to say to help us. Yes. Dear God, I pray for your power. I pray for your presence to be on the service today. God, I pray that you help each and every family in here, each and every person, to grow closer to you. God, I pray today, dear God, that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the light as you're in the light, and we'd have fellowship one with another. Yes. God, I pray that you'd help us, God, to love one another. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to obey your word, God, that our ears would be ready and circumcised to hear the word of God, Lord, and that our hearts would be ready to receive the word of God.
Right.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's pretty good. Let this mind be in you. We've talked quite a bit about that around here in the past. One thing that we all need to do is to let the mind of God be in us. We need to let God's mind be our mind. You understand that a sinner will never be saved until he has the mind of Christ? Never. A sinner will never, ever be saved. He'll die and go to hell without the mind of Christ. Saved or lost, we ought to have the mind of Christ. You'll never be saved without having the mind of Christ. You say, what are you talking about? Until a sinner starts thinking like God thinks, she'll never, ever be born again. One of the problems with salvation is that we've got us a salvation today outside the mind of Christ without thinking about it like God thinks about it. But once a person gets on the same page with God in their thinking, I'll promise you that person's on the path to being born again. They sure are. You can't do it without it. You can't get saved without thinking like God thinks. And we must see ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, like God sees us. Got to get to that place where we can see self the way God sees us. I think we all understand that. We must think of ourselves as God thinks of us. Whatever God thinks about you, ladies and gentlemen, is right. Whatever God thinks. Whatever you think, that's one thing. That really doesn't count for eternity, not one bit whatsoever. But what God thinks is going to count for all eternity. And until you start thinking of yourself like God thinks of yourself, you'll never in your life get to God. Never. Never be a conversion. Before I got saved, I had to start seeing eye to eye with God. You understand? I had to start. That's why God said, come now and let us reason together. He wants you to see yourself like He does. He wants you to understand where you are like He understands where you are. He wants you to get a grip of what you are like He's got a grip of what you are. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let me talk to you. Let me plead my case. Let me show you. Let me jerk the covers off. Let me reveal to you what you really are. God said, let me reason this thing out with you. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. Before I ever got saved, I had to see myself like God did. I had to understand myself like God did. I had to think of myself like God did. You know what God thought about me? God thought I was a hell-bent, hell-deserving sinner. I deserved to be in hell, and I had to come to grips, ladies and gentlemen, that in the best of my best, it was all just a bunch of filthy rags, and I was worthy of death and hell. And I had to come to terms with that, because really, I thought I was a pretty good old boy. I mean, I loved my wife, and I paid my bills, and I worked 40 hours a week, and I paid my taxes, and I did all the right things, and man, I was good to my neighbors, and I was kind to other people, and I tried to look unto others, the need of others, and I tried to esteem others better. I was lost. I thought I was pretty good, and every bit of my good was just a bunch of filthy rags, and I had to come to grips with that. I had to see myself like that. The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, saved and lost. You'll never get saved without the mind of Christ. Where I was once at odds with the Word of God, I began to agree with the Word of God. There was things in that Bible that I didn't like. There was things in that Bible that I didn't line up with. There's things in the Word of God that I didn't agree with. But you know what, Miss Stephanie? Before I ever got saved, I had to start agreeing with those things that I didn't agree with. Before I ever got saved, I had to start lining up with those things I didn't line up with. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never, never, never get saved disagreeing with the Word of God. Never. Never. One of the reasons why people don't get saved is because they really don't believe it. They say they do, but they really don't. They ain't lining up with that book. Everybody in this building that is saved, before you got saved, you had your own way of seeing things. That's right, you had your own way of understanding. You had your own way of thinking. But I'll tell you one thing, before you got saved, you had to come around to God's way. Right, and you did if you got saved. When a man is lost, I mean, before his pursuit of God, he don't see anything wrong with his sin. A man don't see nothing wrong with his sin. Before God ever starts revealing things to him, he'll see nothing wrong. Before he starts pursuing, before he starts seeking. I'm telling you, when you start seeking after God, friend, God will bring some things up you never even imagined in your life. God will start revealing some things you didn't even know was wrong. I don't have to be ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. But can I just be real? I'm not trying to be ugly. My cousin stood right there just last week. Stood right there just last week. Amber sitting right back there in that chair. She wasn't being on the phone. She was just being flat out nosy. And I was kind of hoping that she was paying attention to what was going on. Because here's a man that stood in front of this church, ladies and gentlemen, and professed to be born again. And profess to be a sodomite. And profess that God is okay with that. And ask me my opinion. I said, I'm not going to give you my opinion, Wallace. You'll hate me forever. I think we ought to kill you, honey. And that's what we ought to do.
Sure.
I said, Wallace, what does God say about it? Well, God said that a man will not leave a man. I said, stop. That's it. That's where I stop right there. Whatever God said about it is what I say about it. Amen. That's what I say about it. But how I love Him. Listen, I'm not trying to pick on Him. My heart breaks for Him. It's just a living example. Last week, standing in about this vicinity, in this exact spot, we had a man standing in this church going, but I love Him. How can it be wrong? I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, until you start seeing that thing like God does, you'll never get saved. Never. Not see that sin as the chiefest of all sins.
Yeah.
Right. No sin. God, whatever God said is wrong is wrong. And until we start lining up with that, we'll never get it right. Never. You can't get right. When a man is lost, he don't see anything wrong with his sin. These suckers sit around and drink and dope and gossip and, I mean, they just run their mouth and just live in sin. Don't see nothing wrong with their sin. See nothing wrong with that. Tell you one thing, if they ever get saved, they're going to have the mind of Christ. Right? You're going to see a thing the way God sees it. You know what? I kept thinking, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to be ugly, please. I hope you understand that. I've got 49,000 examples, but there was a living example standing in this church last week. You know what I kept thinking? And I even quoted this verse to him. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Huh? Every man did the ways of a man. I'm telling you, it seems to be right. It seems to be okay. And man, we can justify it. And I mean, we can justify it. I can justify stealing, friend, if my family gets hungry enough. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof is the ways of death. I'm telling you, church, we're going to have the mind of Christ in order to ever even be saved. Nobody will ever, never get saved making justification. Listen, you'll never get born again justifying one inkling of a sin. Are you listening? That's not the mind of Christ. You'll never get born again justifying the inkling, the thought, the merely thought of a sin. You'll never get saved doing that. Sin's got to be condemned. Completely annihilated, hated, despised, rejected, done away with, turned from, recognized for exactly what it is. If that was the only inkling that ever existed on planet Earth, then that inkling is what hung Jesus on a cross. Can't justify an inkling of a sin. You can't justify a thought. You can't justify a wrong word. You can't justify a deed. And never expect God to save you. If you remember, ladies and gentlemen, God had to reprimand some of the Old Testament prophets because they justified people in their sin. They would pat people on the back and tell them it was going to be okay. Listen, there was Old Testament prophets back there that was taking people to church. It sounds a lot like our day. It doesn't even sound like it was 4,000, 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. But 6,000 years ago, there was preachers running across the country that was taking people that was wicked and going, well, it's going to be okay. And they were taking the people that was righteous and living holy and godly, and they were reproving that crowd. God had to deal with them. What's wrong today, ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong in our day is considered right. And what's right today is considered hate. What's right today is considered racism. What's right today is considered bigotry. What's right today is considered chauvinism. They've turned this thing around and called right wrong and wrong right. Yes. That's not the mind of Christ. That's not the mind of Christ. Bigotry, racist, hate, whatever else they want to call it. It's a shame. It's a shame that we're living in such an hour, but it's blamed near impossible to get folks to even come to church anymore unless there's something at the church that entertains or feeds the flesh. I mean, it's easy to get people to come if you make compromises on the Word of God. You can take and get you an NIV and be so lily-livered and man, put you some drums up here and get you a little rhythm that sounds about like a little Wayne or some of the rest of them rock and rollers in America. Listen, friend, and people will come in and they'll get the swaying back and forth and that old flesh gets flared up and men get to checking out the swaying hips of the women and the women get to checking out all the business of a man. I'm telling you, it's sensual and devilish anymore. And people will flock to that mess.
Yes, sir.
Flock to it.
Yes.
Because the flesh loves it. It's not the mind of Christ. God never exalted this nasty flesh. Oh, sir. In order to get them to the light, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to live out the Word of God through your actions. You're going to have to live this book. You're going to have the mind of Christ in this lost and dying world. And whatever Jesus says is what you're going to have to carry out. Whatever Jesus said is how you're going to have to act. Whatever Jesus said is what you're going to have to do. Hey, listen, friend. God never did even command them to come down here. But He did command you and I to go out into the lost and dying world. And I promise you, if we have the mind of Christ, that we can head out tomorrow and we can let a lost and dying world see the light of God in our life. But you can't do it without the mind of Christ. You got to think like Him. Right? Got to think like He thinks. It's not hard. It's not impossible. All you got to do is agree with the Bible. That's all it is. In order to live out the Bible, you're going to have the mind of Christ. Right? You know what I had to come to agree with, Steve, before I was saved? When I was a sinner, Miss Stephanie, you know what I had to, and this was tough. I had to agree with John 8:44. That's tough. But when that preacher pointed his finger out there and said, "You are of your father, the devil." You mean to tell me the devil is my father? You mean to tell me that sucker's my father? He's the father of all lies, ladies and gentlemen. He loves it when men lay with men. He loves it when men cheat on their wives. He loves it when men rape little kids. He loves it. That's my father. I had to come to terms. That's my father. What he loves, I love. What he's about, I'm about. And until I came to terms that, yes, that sucker's my father. Yes, I'm his child. I'm a child of the damned. Never could come to Jesus. I had to come to terms with that. That's the mind of Christ. I was born that way. I was born a child of Satan. I had to agree with the fact that without Christ, I was without hope. I was without Christ, I would perish for all eternity. Couldn't be good enough. I couldn't be a good enough old boy. I couldn't be a good enough husband. I couldn't be a good enough daddy or a good enough son. I couldn't be, Steve, a good enough brother. I couldn't do anything good enough. Ladies and gentlemen, to the believer, if you're going to walk with God and have fellowship with God, if you ever amount to anything for God, then you must let this mind dwell in you as a believer. We just talked to lost people for a second about being saved and what it takes to be saved. You got to have the mind of Christ. You got to line up with that book. You got to believe God. Take God at His word. You don't add nothing to it. No buts, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just take Him at His word. Your daddy's the devil, and you're following the works of your daddy. You love the works of your daddy. You need to come to grips with that. You love this junk. You love the works of your father. You're of your father. You are of Him. You need to come to grips with that. It's amazing how perverted your heart can be. Don't even know it. Your heart says, "Ah, not you. You're of your father. You are of your father." You'll have to come to grips with that. You'll have to see that God does. As much as you think you might hate something, you're of that. You're of that. To the believer, you're going to have fellowship. You're going to have to let this mind just dwell. You're going to have to let it just abide in you. How can you do that? How can I let the mind of Christ just rule my everyday life? How can I let the mind of Christ rule in my home? How can I let it have its way in every area of my life? Listen, you read your Bible and just obey what God said. That's how. You stop the mind of Christ when you start disobeying the Word. When you break fellowship. When you get out of step with God. I'm telling you, church, when you don't walk in the blessed Word. When you disagree with one little thing. Listen, and not walking in it. Might as well say I'm disagreeing with it. Either you're for me or against me. Ain't that what He said? Agree with every jot. I don't want to repeat Him. But I'm going to say you need to agree with every jot. You need to agree with every tittle because your Bible says that every jot and tittle is correct.
Once again, let me challenge y'all to go over and listen to the 12, 11 o'clock and the 1 o'clock service of last week. My brother asked for preaching on the Bible. I hope you, some of you asked, and thank God you did, and I hope you got to enjoy that good message on Joseph. And boy, Joshua, I hope that, man, I would step outside maybe and tell that lie. I'd like to be able to take credit for that message. Man, that's so good. I'd like to say, man, I gave that to him, but I didn't. I wish I did. That's a good message. But let me encourage you to go over and listen to that message. It's just good lessons, church. He's dealing with the King James Bible and the Word being pure. Every word of God is pure. And even in our King James Bibles, Mama, do you have an Oxford print back there? Is yours Oxford? Most of them Schofields, you know, they got that Oxford. They've got, these King James Bibles got over 1,500, even in the King James Bible, there's over 1,500 changes. 1,500 changes in your King James Bible. There's words in that Oxford right there that are just as wrong as any word in the NIV in that Oxford print. That ain't her fault. Oxford has slipped this stuff in, and for some reason, just no particular reason, just because a man wanted to scratch his hinder parts or something or show his stupidity, he slipped a little word change in there. And I'm telling you, one word changes everything. Whether it is of or if, it matters. Man, that's a good, go on there and listen to him go through that. And he's laid out all these different, I think he took about 10 different Bibles, all King James, and went through and showed the different word changes and stuff like that. But yet, thank God we've got that good. There's not one thing, as far as anybody can find, not one thing wrong with that book. Not that. Every word is pure. And I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to have us a pure copy of the pure. We ought to have a copy of the pure Word of God. Everybody ought to have it. Everybody ought to have a copy out of the pure Word. I'm real adamant. I'm real strong. I think you can get saved out of a Playboy magazine as fast as you can an NIV Bible. I believe you can get saved out of a Hustler magazine. I believe you can get saved off of some of that filthy, garbage, vile, reprobateish material that they pump out of them places in California as you can any of these reprints of any Bible on the market. Right. Just as perverted. They're just as perverted. You change them words, friend, they perverted Jesus Christ. I don't believe they're inspired. God didn't inspire these changes. So how are you going to get saved out of an uninspired book? How are you going to pin down your salvation in a perverted book? A man tainted by the hands of man. Be adamant about that. Read your King James Bible and line up with it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as a child of God, you need to realize that I'm wrong, but the Bible is right. Sinner friend, you need to realize you're wrong, but the Bible is right. Whatever the Bible says is right. Whatever God says is right. Whatever you might think that doesn't line up with the Bible, you're wrong, friend. You're just wrong. You're wrong. I don't have a problem with that. Eric, I don't have a problem with admitting where I'm wrong in the King James Bible. Thank God, I'm glad that it shows me the error of my ways. And I have some. Makes no difference what you and I think. What matters is what God says about it. That's the mind of Christ. He's correct about everything that he's ever even thought of thinking. Ha! He's correct about everything. If he even thought about thinking it, he's correct about that. Right. Yeah. When he repented on his judgment over there with old Moses, and he was going to destroy them people, and he repented of his anger, ladies and gentlemen, he changed his mind. If he would have went ahead and killed every one of them, he would have still been right. He was right in thinking that, Zach. He was right in changing his mind. He was right about everything he's ever thought, ladies and gentlemen. And I tell you, that's the mind of Christ. We need to adopt that. We need to obtain that. You know what I believe? I believe nobody ever gets saved agreeing with parts of the Bible and not the whole Bible. Yeah. I believe if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to agree with everything in that book. I believe when people pick and choose what to believe, and boy, don't we do it. Don't Americans, don't a human being do it.
Well, people pick and choose what to believe. They're calling God a liar in those areas that they don't believe. Well, I'll take this, but I don't want that. Well, I know that. Listen, you know what I want to ask a bunch of sodomites? Is it wrong to kill people? How come it's wrong to kill people, but it ain't wrong to be a fag? How come you can be a sodomite, but you can't be a murderer? How come you can't just go around raping children, but you can be a sodomite? We pick and choose, you understand? We pick and choose. You'll never get born again until you say every one of them. Every precept is right. Every word is right. Every jot, every tittle is correct. Whether I am guilty or not. It's right. I believe when people take this part and not that part, that part right over there, they're saying, God, you are a liar. What else are you saying? Help me. I'm just talking to you. If a person says, well, yeah, I can see where murder's wrong, but man, you know, they drunk wine in the Bible, so I think this drinking's okay. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He just called God a liar. He just called God a liar, and I don't believe anybody ever gets saved calling God a liar in any area of that Bible. Nope. I believe they're going to have to line up with every bit of it, whether they're part of them or not. That's right. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of sins that I was guilty of before I did get saved, and even after I got saved, there was things that God was removing out of my life, and still to this day, God's removing stuff out of my life. But I'll be honest with you, there's some things, Miss Holly, I wasn't guilty of, and I had to agree with every one of them, whether I was guilty or not. Right. Made no difference. It's amazing, man, how we pick and choose. What's sin and what's not? What's right and what's not? What's inspired and what's not? I don't know if you realize or not, but God gave us a perfect Bible. No man can even come to repentance until he believes the Word of God exactly like it is. You can't repent. You can't even come to repentance until that Bible's 100% right with you. You got to line up with it. Repentance is agreeing with God, ladies and gentlemen. That's what repentance is. It's agreeing with God. It's disagreeing with yourself. Seeing yourself as what you are and going, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a lost sinner living in sin. God says everything about you. You have to say, yes, God, you're right. And I'm wrong. Agreeing with God is disagreeing with yourself. If repentance is a change of mind, listen, if repentance is a change of mind, and it is a change of mind, then we must change our mind from our mind to God's mind. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's repentance, ladies and gentlemen. Philippians 2:5 is a beautiful picture of repentance. Get rid of your mind. You got to have a change of mind. You got to quit thinking the way you think. Looking at things the way you looking at things. See things the way you see it. And see it the way God sees it. Think about it what God thinks about it. I mean, friend, you got to agree with the Word of God and have His mind on the matter. It's good. That's good. That'll help you. Saved and lost. That'll help us. I'm going to walk with God, then I must daily deny myself and agree with God. My old self wants to rise up. I want to rise up from time to time. I have to deny that. I have to deny myself. There's a lot of things that David wants to do, but that ain't what God wants. So I have to stand with God and against myself. It'll be a good day when we learn how to do that. You know it? It'll be a good day. Look at verse 6. We'll try to get down through here a couple of these verses and cut it off and maybe do the fence. David wants to do congregation, but that's not what God wants me to do. So I have to stand with God and against myself. Listen to me. I said there's a lot of things that I want to do, but I can't do. But then there's a lot of things that I can't do that I do. What happened? I just got out of fellowship with God. Oh, I got out of step with God. Boy, I had to get that thing right. I have to say that because I've got to be honest. Let's look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know why it was not wrong for him to consider himself equal with God Almighty? You know why God, Jesus, was going, I'm equal with God. I mean, that sounds a little petty. I'm sure he didn't sound like me, but Jesus could have stood out there on them Judean banks, Miss Debbie, and went, I'm equal with God, ladies and gentlemen. And he thought like that. He did think that. I'm equal with God. Jesus out there walking along the shores of Galilee. I mean, man, walking over there to the maniac of Gadara. I mean, just walking through, doing his thing, man. Jesus could say, I'm equal with God. And he thought like that. He thought like that, did you? That was his mindset. How could he do that? How could Jesus think so highly of himself? Wasn't thinking highly. He was thinking honest. He was God. I am God. Me and God's the same. I like that. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, that's just the mindset of God. I'm telling you, boy, you can get so close to God, ladies and gentlemen, it's just there. You understand? I mean, you and God can get that close. You can get to thinking like him. I'm telling you, you can walk in that oneness with him. Just be that close. You may not be God. Benny Hinn says you can, but and the devil. But the Bible says that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was God manifest in the flesh. He was God. Verse 7, the Bible says, but he made himself of no reputation. Oh, help me, Jesus. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came as a servant. He wasn't interested in being rich or being the CEO or being a political leader, but he came, ladies and gentlemen, to be a servant, the King of glory. His entire life was his whole life consisted of others, and that's what we've preached in the past. What was the mind of Christ? This is a good point. This is what we've always preached around here. What was the mind of Christ? What was on his mind? The will of the Father. What was all that about? It wasn't about him being the CEO of IBM. It wasn't about him being the president of Israel. The prime minister, it wasn't about all that. It was about him serving others. It's about others. His whole life was all about others. You want to have the mind of Christ? Think about others. That's what his mind was on, others. I'm not going to re-preach it. We've already talked about it. When Jesus got tired, ladies and gentlemen, listen, he was so interested in others. Don't you know he got tired? Don't you know he got physically weary? I mean, man, he didn't have any luxuries of life. He wasn't riding around in Cadillacs and SUVs. He didn't have heated seats that recline and have lumbar support. Man, he walked and rode jackasses and stuff like that across them old rough terrains. He didn't get to go over to the Marriott and sleep on that nice Tempur-Pedic. Man, they laid down in the dirt, you understand? They laid down on piles of gravel and made pillows for rocks for pillows. And don't you know he got tired? Yeah. Sure, he got weary. Sure, he may have had some aches. Sure, maybe he had some pains to creep up in his life. Maybe his feet got to hurting because he didn't have proper Dr. Scholl's. Don't know. Just think about him being a man. Doing what he did. And man, he didn't have nearly the luxuries that we have. These Bostonian shoes that I have on, some of the most comfortable. I'd rather wear them than tennis shoes, friend. Michael, they're so comfortable. I want to buy everybody. I think about your daddy all the time. The man, I'd like to buy him a pair of these black shoes because they're ugly enough for Miss Ruth Ann to like them. Can't be pretty in her life. They got to be ugly for her to like them. Just no tassels and no frillies and no laces and no little girly things. And I like that, Miss Ruth Ann. Thank God. I like it. she's got more about her, about what a man ought to be, than most men in America anymore. All these little dangly things on these old men stuff. All I got's a pair of shoestrings. That's good. Amen. Little cuties dangling around. And some of my old preachers talk about that lace, got that lace around their neck lace and wrist lace. And if you could get down to the nitty gritty, they probably got some around their drawers. And well, ain't got a thing to do with Jesus this morning, but Miss Ruth Ann, it's her fault. I'm just saying Jesus got tired. But Miss Stephanie, he didn't get to go down to the beach and relax. It was people dying and going to hell. It was blind people sitting over by the wayside. There was women with issues of blood. There was little tax collectors ripping people off. It was people all along the way. Jesus just kept running. He just kept seeing that need. Kept seeing that need of others and seeing the need of others. And boy, he couldn't take any time off. And he couldn't let up. And he couldn't take it easy. He just had to press on and be about his Father's business. Thank God for Jesus. I'm telling you. Thank God for him. You say, what are you talking about? Man, we need to press on, ladies and gentlemen. We need to see the cause. We need to see the need. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Where is it? I heard him pray a while ago, and it's good prayer. It's an honest prayer. Sometimes, boy, we just don't have the burden that we ought to have. Sometimes we think a little bit too much of ourselves. I'm tired. I'm weary. Listen, I'm not against vacations. I think you're to take one and fight. I think you're to give me two or three. I think you're to pay for a couple. I'm not against vacations. I'd be a fool. But Jesus didn't have that luxury. Them old boys that was trying to hang out there with him, he was much of a man. They was trying to hang out there with him, and they were pretty tough. Old Peter and them boys, they was pretty tough. I don't know if any of us could walk too far in their shoes, sandals, bare feet, whatever. But he told them, he said, boys, you stay right here and rest while I go yonder and pray. He knew this tired. He knew this weary. They just sat over there and went to sleep. And Jesus said, you couldn't stay up? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You couldn't handle it? Yeah. Whew. I'm glad, thank God for Jesus. He just came to serve a bunch of sinners, Michael. Isn't that amazing? He come to serve a bunch of sinners. He come to serve a bunch of people that we look down on, that we criticize, that makes us cringe, that we despise. And look at them, man, look at that. I'm so good at it. And Jesus came to serve them. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came to seek and save. Ladies and gentlemen, we can see the Lord Jesus. We can see him walking across the pages of our Bible. It's not hard to see him. He's on every page. I believe that. I believe I've seen him on every page I've ever looked at. You can see him. You can see him as an ark to carry Noah and his family through the flood. What did Noah say? He found grace. That's right. What is grace? What is the grace of God? Somebody help me. Everybody talks about grace. Grace. What is the grace of God? I'll tell you what it is. It's Jesus. Because the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You understand that? Jesus Christ is the grace of God. He's appeared unto all men. Nobody ever died and go to hell without Jesus. He's appeared unto all men. That grace, that's him, ladies and gentlemen. I see him walking across every page. Noah found grace. He found the Lord. He found Jesus with the mind of Christ. You see him in the wilderness feeding the children of Israel day in and day out. We can see him as that manna represented the Lord Jesus Christ in that wilderness. We can see him. We can see him through the prophets as a tender plant, thank God, as a root out of dry ground. Can't you see him? Over in the book of Isaiah it said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He is the arm of God. Thank God. We can see him in the Gospels as the God-man. We can see him in the Acts as the husband-man. We can see him in the book of Romans as the sacrifice. We can see him in the churches as the aim and the example. We can see him in the revelation as, glory to God, nothing less but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting, thank God, on his throne. He's on every page. He's from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus, hallelujah. He's everything in that Bible. We're to have the mind of Christ about us. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when you sit down with the mind of Christ and you start turning them pages, you can see him skip from one page, praise God. And I ain't being stupid. I'm telling you, when you sit down there and you write with God, you're having the mind of Christ, you can turn one page of the Bible and see Jesus jump from one page to the other. You can go from left to the right in the Bible and you'll see Jesus slide right over. I'm telling you, as you turn another page, there he goes and makes another leap. He's on every page. Hallelujah. Whatever he says, we're to say amen. Yeah. He is the amen. He's the amen. Just trying to say that he did all this. And he did everything that he's done from Genesis to Revelation. And everything thereafter. And therefore, you and I. That's right. Everything. I don't know about you, but I like it. Amen. I just like it. I like Jesus. And I like this book. And I like what he's done. I like the old story, and I like that song we sung a while ago. Tell me the story of Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, I've heard it all my life, Miss Holly. I've heard it all my life. Ever since I can remember Miss Hannah being a little bitty boy drugged down there to the church house, I've heard about Jesus Christ. And I tell you, church, when we sung that old song this morning, I'm telling you, thank God one more time the bells got to ringing in my soul. I love the old story. I'm telling you, church, I never get tired of Jesus. I never get fed up with Jesus. I never get wore out with Jesus. Thank God, Jesus, it's all about him. He's everything. Amen.
Yes,
well, thank God for Jesus.
Yes,
so the world does its best to destroy everything about him. And I tell you, friend, they can't stop Jesus. Amen. You can't stop Jesus no more than you can stop a river. I remember old Brother Leroy talking about you can't stop a river. How they'll build them dams and thank God the water will rise up over the dam. You can't stop Jesus. They've hung him on a cross. They put him in a tomb. They've denied him. They've done everything they could, friend. And Jesus, thank God, is still standing. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. I know it might be simple and it might be shallow, but I'm so glad and thank God for the Word of God. For Jesus, that written Word of God. I'm telling you, church, they showed a picture the other day of all that tornado damage. Then they showed a little old stand of a house, and the window was gone. The house was gone, but the stand was still there, and the Bible was on the stand. I said, thank God you can't get rid of Jesus. If it had blown 40 million miles, it'd still be in his place. He's still going to be in his place. Amen.
Yes,
Lord. If I blow that Bible plumb out of this world, son, Jesus would have still been right where he's supposed to be.
Yes,
amen. What you going to do with Jesus? Only thing I want to do is agree with him. Only thing I want to do is fellowship with him. Only thing I want to do is line up with him. Only thing I want to do is love him. Only thing I want to do is walk with him. Thank God for Jesus, church. God for Jesus. This old world at its best don't have much to put in the place of power. Not in its best. We like old Netanyahu, that stinking liberal. He's a stinking liberal. And I'm telling you, that's about the best the world's got to offer. You hear me? I'm telling you, friend, a man, he promotes sodomy and everything else. But I'm telling you, church, glory be to God. Jesus Christ, thank God, is greater than the greatest of all of our leaders. I'm not looking to a leader. I'm not looking to a politician. I'm not looking to a boss. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. Be a righteous judge one of these days, ladies and gentlemen. Be a righteous judge. We're fixing to pick one of them judges to sit up there in Washington. Whether he's righteous or whether he's not, boy, I hope to God he is. I pray that he's a good man. Pray. I pray that he agrees with the Word of God over the Constitution of the United States. I hope he agrees with the Word of God. If the Constitution don't line up with the Word,
and stay with the word. Amen.
But I'm telling you, church, one of these days, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to be sitting on his rightful throne. And righteous judgment will take place. It'll be good. Listen, when he's sitting on his throne, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about this man that became a servant. When he's sitting on his throne, Miss Denny, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. We'll have to go back down there to the graveyard. Miss Denny, won't nobody have to call you about nobody else in your family? Hey, Eric, will none of them kids ever have to worry about another meal to eat? I'm telling you, for the former things will be passed away. Glory to God, church. Oh, glory to God. There won't be no more sicknesses, no more sorrows. You won't have to get any more bad reports about your children. There won't be no more, listen, there won't be no more sin. I know that's not good English, but I just like the way it sounds. There won't be no more sin. There won't be no more sin. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more devil. There'll be no more devil. There'll be no more devil. Why? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's going to take care of that.
Good.
What did he do? He came to service. He just came to be a servant. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. 10 trillion years from now, see. Thank be to God. I can't even wrap my mind around the years that'll be and the time that'll carry on. But I mean, just in my imagination, that 10 trillion years from now, it'll still be fresh. And there'll still be a yearning, a longing, a desire, a thrill in my heart to go to the throne and bow down and say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And 10 trillion years after that, it'll still be a thrill. It'll still be a joy. It'll still be exciting to go back to the throne and say, worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy. Thank God. They say time shall be no more. I say time shall be more. And forever while the ages roll. For all time and eternity. Thanks be unto God. It'll never grow old. I'll bow before him and praise his holy name. He that sat on his throne, the righteous King of Kings. What a day that'll be, friend. Man. Miss Debbie, I'm honest with you. I like living. Eric, I like it. I like coming in here seeing you. It blessed my heart just to watch you walk across the church this morning, buddy. I'm telling you, it blessed my heart to see you. I come in here and it blesses my heart to see you good folk. Walk over to that Sunday school room and see all them little old precious kids. But friend, I get to thinking about the things up in heaven. I get to thinking about Jesus sitting on the throne. I get to thinking about no more sin and no more sorrow. I get so homesick. I want to go so bad sometimes. Man, I want to get out of here. I want to go to heaven. I want to see my Lord. I want to just sit at his feet in his very presence in the glory world. I like it. I like thinking about it. I like thinking about heaven. I like thinking about the reality of sitting there with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like thinking about, boy, how there'll be a perfect peace and a perfect rest and a perfect fellowship and no more sin. None of that stuff. Well, I like it. I look forward to it. And verse 7 says, he made of himself no reputation. Boy, I seen that and I thought, for God in heaven's sake, poor, pitiful little Jesus. You mean to tell me he didn't have no Dr. Jesus Christ ministry? I wish to God some of y'all get about half me and jump in there with me on that. You mean to tell me he didn't have a Dr. Jesus Christ ministry? The Bible said he made of himself of no reputation. I'm going to tell you, I have a real problem with these manly ministries. Because Jesus made of himself no reputation. Won't you take your stinking sign down? Take your big shot name down. Won't you put up something about Jesus? Huh? How many times do you think Jesus passed through Galilee and had banners flying? Dr. Jesus Christ Ministries.
Yeah.
Boy, I just had a terrible thought. Jesus could burp more knowledge than most of these doctors combined put together could ever muster up in their entire life. That's right. There's more knowledge in the burp of Jesus Christ than there is in all the brains combined in all this world for all eternity. We can't scratch the surface of Jesus. Made himself of no reputation.
made himself of no reputation.
Wasn't flying banners and God and help. How'd Jesus Christ ever make it without Facebook? Some website. Dr. Jesus Christ Ministries. Could you see it? He didn't run ads. He didn't have to do this, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't have to fly banners. He didn't have to make himself of a reputation. Let me tell you something. His doings did that. His doings, Michael, did all of that. I'm telling you, buddy, it was noise abroad what Jesus done. He didn't have to fly banners. He didn't have to run ads on Facebook. He didn't have to build up a big old website and try to lure people to come out. I'm telling you, man, Jesus was doing such things that people all across the country was talking about what God was doing. I'm telling you, but when you line up with the mind of Christ, you don't have to worry about reputation. That's right. You don't have to worry about promoting self. Oh, friend, you don't have to worry about the big I's and the little U's. Everything is just focused on Him. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I tell you, I'm not worried about who's falling and who's standing. I want to look at Jesus, thank God. Because He's eternally standing. He'll never fall, He'll never falter, never fail.
Right, keep your eyes on Him. Made no reputation. He didn't have no reputation.
Would you believe that His holiness gave Him a reputation? I'm about done for this morning. Would you believe that His reputation gave Him, His holiness gave Him His reputation? Sure it did. Sure it did. Let me. You know what the Bible says?
Just like this. This is real deep now. You're going to probably need a Greek theologian to figure some of this out.
He said that when He went about doing good. Can you handle that? That's deep, ain't it? See, He went about doing good. He went about doing good. I'm telling you, church, His reputation exceeded Him.
Amen. Oh, His holiness, man, spoke for Him. Jesus would go out and spit in the dirt and rub it in a blind man's eyes and say, go down there and jump in that water 7 times and dip. Hey, listen, man, come up and you're going to be all right. I'm telling you, man, that man went down there and dipped 7 times in the water. He come up and he could see, glory to God. He went about doing good, friend. He didn't put up a banner and say, come to the meeting, we're going to give people their sight tonight. He just passed by, and old boy would say, have mercy on me. He'd say, go on, son, you all right? Take up your bed, you all right? Who touched me? Daughter, he said. I like that. Man, I like that.
Verse 8 says this. Goodness gracious. Verse 8 says, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus died as a sinner, ladies and gentlemen. We all know that. How many of you would like to stand before all your friends and listen? How many of y'all would like to come up here and put all your friends, all my friends and family could probably fit in this time. All my friends could fit easily in this section over here. All my friends, Eric, could fit in this section. One, two. All my friends can fit me.
Yeah.
I was having to use my toes and everything, so I was just getting to see it. What was the time I'd say? My toes? All my friends. What does that verse say? Oh, I know it's on that. I've been about half stupid. Just think about all the people you work with, Michael. Think about all the people out there at Westmont. That's the name, man? Changed names so many times. One reason I remember because I went back yesterday. The one up here in Winston-Salem, they got a big one up here. They got a big one. A lot of houses. A lot of houses. They got one in Statesville, got a lot of houses. All them people out there in the blue. All them people that was
med center that you're connected to and through. All out. Just pull everybody out. 10,000 of us. Pull them out. 10,000 is about what works over there. Right? Think about all the people in Hudson, those are Hodges. Well, everybody you've ever been affiliated with that ever even has a thought of you, bring them out here. Let's put you up here and take all your clothes off of you. Let's strip you down. Not nice, let's just rip your clothes off. Let's rip them off. Be nice, wouldn't it? Let's let all the people sit out there and watch you be ridiculed. Let's spit on you. Let's throw rocks at you. Let's beat you. Let's get us a big old stout man up here. Just give him a whip and just let him rip the flesh off your bones. And you stand there butt neck in front of everybody. I tell you, you don't have to do nothing. You take the clothes and that's enough humiliation. That's enough shame alone to have to stand in front of the crowds without your clothes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus did. They ripped his clothes off. Boy, I think about it, it's just shame, church.
This is what your Bible says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. They took his clothes. And my sin took their place. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. My stripes were healed. Ladies and gentlemen, that precious blood of Jesus will heal the soul of every person that's ever been born on planet Earth. Right. There's not a sin too big or a sinner too lost. And I'm telling you that if a speck of that blood was to touch that soul, it'd be white as snow. Not a sin too big, not a sinner too lost. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm going to quit. Try to pick back up right there. What a blessing. Became obedient to the death of the cross. I wonder how many of us, talking about the mind of Christ, I'm still on the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. It's a sacrificial mind. It's just giving yourself up for others. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know too many of us that'd be willing to stand up here naked and to get made fun of and mocked and ridiculed for anybody else in this congregation. Much less, Michael, them perverts down on the street. Much less them junkies over in the ditch somewhere, them drunks over in the gutter. Huh? Could you imagine? What's that verse, Zach, that you've quoted? What's that verse? Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Huh? You can't hardly find somebody that'd die for a righteous man, ladies and gentlemen. Much less some of these perverts and nasty, filthy, vile sinners like me. God help us. Father, we thank you for this time, this precious time. I thank you, Lord. Lord, for Jesus Christ, I can't say it enough. I can't do it justice, Lord, so I'm just going to quit. But I pray, God, that you'd take the heart and mind of each individual here and do a work, God, in it. And do what I cannot do, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd touch and use it for your honor and glory, everything that's been said and done. I pray, God, that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. And help us, God, use it as nourishment, dear Lord, to glorify you more with our bodies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.